this morning, make sure that you see the trouble through that was on truth. You folks purchased 10 angels, so there'll be 10 families get Christmas dinner this week. And we'll make sure that you saw those. And also, I have a gift for Kathleen. We appreciate you more than you'll ever know.
Good morning to you wonderful people. It is a wonderful day, isn't it? Amen. It's a wonderful time of the year, isn't it? Christmas time is a wonderful time. I know that there's a lot of criticism about Christmas and what takes place and so forth, but in all, it's a wonderful time. I think that Christmas, isn't Christmas a time that you see more love than any other time of the year? I mean, Thanksgiving is just Thanksgiving and run and get to turkey and all that junk and stuff, but there's something about Christmas that just seems like there's love in the air, and it ought to be. It's a wonderful time. Through all the celebrations and so forth, the most wonderful time is Christmas time as we remember the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ come to earth to make known God and his love for mankind. I want to share with you not the most wanted passage, but a passage I think that we ought to keep in mind at this time of the year. It comes from Isaiah 53. It reads like this. Speaking of Jesus, prophesying that this one would come. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He's speaking of Jesus. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to our own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb of slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of many of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. That's our Jesus, born in Bethlehem.
Hymn of worship this morning, using number 122, sing the first and third verse.
I love my holy night. Always come, always bright. Crown yon virgin, mother and child. So tender and mild, sweet in heavenly peace, sweet in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, Son of God. Lord, ever
Dear God, our Heavenly Father, how wonderful it is to look out and see so many who love you and who desire to worship you and honor you and praise you for your goodness, that take time, make effort to be in a place like this, to let their faith be known. How strengthening it is and how encouraging it is. So Heavenly Father, as we come together this morning, our desire is to honor you, to give you thanks for all your goodness that you, day after day, week after week, you're so good to us. You never fail us. You're so generous, so kind, so loving. We thank you for that, dear God. We thank you now for this time that we have, that we can come together here this morning. And we ask you, Heavenly Father, that you look into each individual's life here today and whatever their need is. Well, there's an ailment they have, or financial thing they have, or any type of thing that is bothering them and is discomforting to them. I pray, dear God, that you would allow the Holy Spirit to dwell on them and bless them and relieve them and encourage them in the good things you have yet for them. Now, dear God, Heavenly Father, bless our people. Help us, strengthen us in our walk with Christ, we pray, in his name. Amen.
Now for communion hymn, we'll use number 149, sing the first and third verse.
Glory is mountain, one grateful and more. All Christ my Savior, weary and worn. Praise the Lord, Savior, death on the cross. Let him I save from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer.
Thank you.
Well, as I look at the bulletin, I don't see anybody having birthdays. And that's good because really the birthday that we want to be centered on is the birthday of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's great. I share a couple of thoughts with you that you might be interested in or might not. If you want a real blessing, last night Maxine and I went with Doug and Ashley and Tammy, our daughter, over to the Ark and to see the lights. We didn't go in the Ark. We'd been there before. But the light display is something unimaginable. And then they also, they have about a 5 or 8 minute thing on the side of the Ark of a movie thing. I can't tell you what, explain that really, from the Ark up and so forth. It's wonderful. Now, it costs you $10 to park per car. Don't have to pay anything else, $10 to park. And you can go in, all the animals, they've got all the animals outside there, animals. They got all kinds of animals out there, and they're going to add more to it. But if you want to see something beautiful, there's hundreds of thousands of lights out there. And but just dress warmer if you do. And it's a someplace if you want to take somebody to see something. And also, we ate at the restaurant there. They have a nice restaurant, big restaurant. I don't know, probably sits 500 people. I don't know. I mean, there was thousands of people there last night. I mean, when you just get a group there, I mean, you can't count how many's in there, and they're all over the place, thousands from all over. But anyhow, what I was going to say, they have a tremendous menu. Last night was great, and Doug has been there before, and he says it's always good. And it's only for seniors, it's $10. Buffet, all you can eat. Frank, all you can eat. And desserts and everything. I mean, it's first class, folks. It's first class. So if you want to spend $10 and enjoy an evening, go a half hour or so or 45 minutes before dark and enjoy all the outside animals and so forth. And then when they turn those lights on, I took some pictures, but I won't even show them to you. It doesn't have no comparison to what the beauty of that thing. So, okay, plug for the Ark. But if you haven't went through the Ark also, it is worth your time. It really is. And you ought to, I would hope that sometime that all of you might go through that. It is beyond imagination, I guess is the term as far as. Okay. All right. Let's see. What else? Thank you, folks, for the last week. We had a wonderful day here, service, and had a good group of people and had a delicious meal, and fellowship is just wonderful. And I think about everybody stayed, but maybe one or two had to leave. But it was great to have the family together and celebrate Christmas time and have a good meal together. It was wonderful. Thank you. Anything else special taking place that might be interesting to us? All right. I didn't get around to asking about the folks here. Everybody on our prayer list, I'm assuming, are doing about the same. Jerry and Judy's not here. They're not sick. And we're glad to see Fanny and Wayne back today. They weren't able to be with us last week. Boy, Wayne, wish you could have been here. Man, we've had a meal on top of a meal. And so great. So we're glad you're here today. And a couple other people here. There's Vern back here. We didn't see him. Boy, you missed a good meal, Vern. And you should have been here. And we're glad you're here. All right. Let's see. Catherine Gaines is still not doing well, so I understand that she's maybe about over the shingles, but not doing well. Who's some of the others on here? We mentioned, okay, all right. So let's continue to pray for the people on our prayer list, those people that we mentioned from time to time. God is so good, and God does work. And boy, I mean, you people have given me testimonies of how God has worked in your life, and I've given you some of how He's worked in my life, and you know, so we know that God works in people's lives. Okay. All right. Thank you. And so continue to pray for one another. And God is so good. Now, our service people, we've mentioned them from time to time that a sad time for them, that's for sure. Many of you, our families have passed on and so forth, and we're reminded of the good times we used to have. And yet we have service people who are away from home and they're not able to be back with the family. It must be a sad time for them. So pray that the Lord would bless them in a way and bring groups together that they can enjoy. They can have a joyous Christmas time, maybe put it that way. For those in the care home also, and we're so thankful for people who care for them. And we just must start, and we must do more to try to help some of those folks too also. But I'm so thankful that there's many groups that goes to care homes and nursing homes that does some wonderful things to help the people enjoy and be blessed at times like this. And we probably are missing out on some of that we should be doing. And not only are people blessed, but the people that are doing that are blessed also. So, okay. And our church family, I'm so thankful that God has blessed you people as He has. You're doing so well and having things as you have and able to do things that you do, and God is so good to you, and it's just wonderful how that you people are blessed. And so pray with thanksgiving. And then also we have difficulties and we have troubles and we have problems we need to deal with. So if you know somebody that's having a difficulty, if you can help them some way, help them. If nothing else, you can pray for them and God will bless them. So isn't it wonderful that we have this God that really is concerned for us?
For prayer, I'm using hymn number 126, saying the first and third verse, and doodle have a prayer. That's all, Sam.
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthem sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping.
Invitation hymn number 334. Now at this time, the choir will make a special.
Love that. Thank you, Kathleen and choir. Very, very, very wonderful. Thank you. When I was plugging the ark there a while ago, if you have a couple friends or so, and you want to do something good for them, and you want to try to impress them with God, spend $10 and take them to see the thing at dark. Be the best thing you ever did for somebody. Okay, I read from Isaiah 53, and so I'm back to Isaiah. Next week we'll go to the story of the birth of Jesus, but this has a lot to do with it. And so back to chapter 9, verse 6 only I'll use today. Just one word out of it, really. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This book is so wonderful. God's book is so wonderful. And, you know, it's a real privilege for us to have. You know, there's people who would just die to get this book. And we're privileged to have half a dozen copies, as many of you have, of this book. It's a privilege to have it, to be able to have it in our hands. And it's a privilege to know what it says about Jesus Christ in here. To study about him, about his birth, true, about his life, about his teaching, and yeah, about his death and his burial and his resurrection, and about his glory there in heaven. Wonderful book that helps us to see and understand this Jesus born as a babe at Bethlehem. To walk with him and to come to know him. We encourage young people or elderly people, whoever comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, who has not known Jesus as their Savior, when they do, we encourage them to come to know Jesus. Study the book of John is great. John tells us so much about Jesus. The others does also. But I always try to encourage people to start with the book of John that doesn't know doesn't read the scripture and have come to know about Jesus. And as we walk with him and we learn of him and we become more like him and we know and understand his mind and his heart, you know. You know, somebody said, who can know the mind of God? Well, we can't really. But we can come to know a lot about the mind and heart of Jesus as we walk with him, as we walk through this book with him, as we study the prophecies, as we look at what the writers of the gospel says about him. We can really come to know him, and we need to study him deeper, deeper and deeper as we go by. Here's the Holy One. The Holy One has come down. Come down to us. We couldn't go up to him, but he came down to us. No man seeking God has ever found him. God has made known to us of himself through Jesus Christ and to us now through this wonderful book of God. God, give us this book, most wonderful book in the world. And we need to know this book. If we really want to know life and experience life and to understand the Lord and to know what's in store for us, we need to know this wonderful book that God has sent for us, given to us. It has to do with the birth of Jesus, yes. It has to do with the life of Jesus. It is the source of his life in this world. Jesus isn't just on the throne in heaven. Jesus is working in this world today. He is ministering to the churches, to the people off his throne there in heaven. How wonderful that is. Isaiah says that there's going to be a child born. And he's going to be called Wonderful. So I want to take a few moments this morning to share some thoughts about Jesus is wonderful. You already know that, though, don't you? But I hope maybe I can share a couple of thoughts that'll be an encouragement to you and help you see him in a little different light, possibly. Isaiah prophesied by the Spirit of God concerning the coming of the Messiah, the birth of Jesus, saying, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. The story of Christmas declares to us, Jesus is wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. As we think about Jesus at this time of the year, this season of the year, we acknowledge the birth of Jesus and the wonderful things he has done for mankind and the way he is. I want to just name a couple of things, and I want to say, you know, Jesus is really wonderful, and that's for sure. And he's wonderful in so many ways. He is wonderful. Jesus was wonderful in the announcement of Jesus. I like to go back and read that, don't you? The announcement of Jesus. Luke 1:26 and 1:27. And he announces the birth of Jesus. The angel comes and announces that Jesus is going to be born. Verse 26, chapter 1. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God. Angel sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Isn't that something? Wonderful. God sent an angel to announce Jesus is going to be born. To tell this virgin, Mary, she's going to have the privilege of birthing Jesus into the world, to mankind. The sixth month just has to deal with, now with Elizabeth. She is now in her sixth month term of carrying John the Baptist. And who announced your birth? When I was born, they probably said, well, it's another boy. What are we going to name him? But when Jesus was birthed, Gabriel came down from heaven. You know who Gabriel is? He's the chief angel. Not just any angel. Gabriel, God's mighty angel, who's over all angels, he came down and announced the birth of Jesus to be to Mary there. The very announcement that Jesus was to be born was wonderful. It wasn't just any angel. You know, I didn't put this in to share this with you, but it's on my mind. It came to my mind just now. I want to share this, and maybe you'd further out. This birth, do we really understand how wonderful and what a miraculous wonder this is? As I was thinking some time back, it came across my mind to look a little bit more about the birthing procedures. And I don't have them all down, and I don't know all about them. You women know all about that more than we men do. But when you think about the birth of Jesus, the conception and the birth, the miraculous things that had to take place there, it is a more than a wonderful thing that took place. When in the uterus, and the eggs are there, and the fetus there, and the fetus begins to grow, and then the blood is shed. You know where the blood comes from? It can come from the female, and it can come from the male. But the protein that comes from the woman that produces the body. Now, just a short story of that, because man, I mean, I could read all day and all night about that. It's so interesting. But here's the thing. Jesus was born, and here's one of the things that makes this so miraculous and so wonderful. Mary, she furnished the protein that caused the body to grow, but she couldn't share her blood at all. So this miraculous way that God took the divine holy blood and inserted it into that tube and into that fetus, I can't imagine. But it had to be. He could not have Mary's blood. You know why, don't you? Because then that would have been the bloodline from Adam. The blood had to come, the divine, holy God, divine blood that came, and Mary now has produced the protein, started the body, and that blood then went in that fetus and brought life. No life. Now, I understand the a little bit about the abortion and argument. Organization and stuff, you see, and they talk about life. But it's true. Life doesn't begin until the blood comes in. And the blood doesn't come in until the body begins to form. That's a different story. But this blood then come in, this holy divine blood, and connected to the fetus into this body, and life begins. Life begins when the blood goes in. The blood doesn't come the first day or two. That's why the abortionist says, you know, there's a period of time that there's not life. And that's true. Until the blood comes. So what I want to get out of there is the fact that this, I want you to see, you know, doesn't it seem just a little more miraculous, more wonderful when you think that this blood, holy, divine, brought the life to that body that Mary was carrying. Pure blood. The Bible says itself, life is in the blood. That's the only reason, I mean, that's the only way that you and I could have our sins cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Because that divine holy blood that was put into the womb of Mary on a fetus is the blood that you contact in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That takes away your sins. That's why Jesus was sinless. He couldn't sin. He had divine, holy blood. Amen. Enough of that. But boy, that's a good sermon there. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, did you ever think about that? I don't know why that came across my mind. I never thought about it. About birth and all those things. And I got to reading about Mary and them again, you know, and about thinking about the birth. And something triggered me to go a little farther. And it's so interesting. I wish I had more time to spend there. But just to think that how that took place and what took place is so wonderful. So the birth of Jesus certainly is wonderful. And then the second thing is this. The teaching of Jesus was wonderful. The teaching of Jesus was so wonderful. Jesus taught people everywhere. Jesus taught them in homes. He taught them in synagogues. He taught them in temples. Walking on the beach. In a boat. Jesus just taught people everywhere. He is known as a master teacher. Isn't that what Nicodemus said? Master teacher. The best teacher ever was. Ever is. Jesus was known as the best teacher, and Jesus could explain difficult things in just a way that common people could understand. Isn't it wonderful that you can take this wonderful book of God, and you got a situation, you got a problem, and you can go in here and talk to Jesus about it, and I'm a very simple man, but I can find an understanding from Jesus. He puts it in such a way, he talks about the ants in the ground, the birds in the air, the flowers that grow, the lilies, how they spin. Things that we understand, deals with problems, and helps us, the ordinary man and woman, can understand that. And he does that in such a way to make plain God the Father, as we talked about before. Jesus taught men how they ought to live together. You know, that's a wonderful thing about this wonderful book of God that the world has missed. Jesus taught men how to live among each other. One little part sentence in there tells me that. You know what that is? Simply, do unto others as you have others do unto you. Isn't that plain, simple? Just do unto others how you'd like for them to treat you. He teaches us how to get along together, what to do to each other. I like the way Jesus taught about the Father, boy. When he talks about the Father, I can grasp that. When he says, God is my Father, man, I can understand that pretty well, that, can't you? I had an earthly father. And my heart goes out to people that didn't come up under an earthly father. And if you're one of those children that grew up without a father, I feel so sorry for you. May God bless you. Because that father figure that we have here on this earth, our physical father, certainly as Jesus teaches about his heavenly father, that helps us to really see My father was good to me. My father loved me. My father did good things for me and so forth. But how much more? Jesus uses that and tells me how much more my Father in heaven has or is. See, I love my father. I used to think there was nobody like my father. You know. But my father stands nothing to my father in heaven. Nothing. And Jesus taught me about my Father in heaven, who loves and cares for people like you and me. Jesus said, Luke 12, 6 and 7, aren't there five sparrows that are sold for two farthings, and God doesn't miss anything about them? Surely he cares more about you than he does the birds. And that's true, isn't it? That's true. I like one day Jesus took Peter, James, and John and took them up on the mountain. And he transfigured there with Moses and Elijah. And in all the glory and splendor that they were seeing there, God out of heaven spoke. And he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Oh, if men everywhere would pick up this wonderful book of God and let Jesus teach them. Might they hear what Jesus has to say about life and about eternity and about God. What a world we would have. What a world we would have. The greatest thing, though, I believe that Jesus taught us is this, is that God loves you. That God loves you and me. Everything that's in that book is supreme and so wonderful. And the things that Jesus said and did is so wonderful. But the greatest thing, maybe I ought to say one of the greatest things, because there's so much great about Jesus, is that Jesus taught about the love of God. How would we have known how God loved us? Jesus said, and John writes this, and Jesus said, here's really how God loved you. He sent his only begotten Son, speaking of himself. And you know the rest of the story. That's how God loves you. He gave his best. I read a story the other night. I was working on this stuff, and this little girl wanted a certain kind of a doll. I forgot what kind of doll it was. She had one doll, and she wanted this particular doll for Christmas. And lo and behold, she did get the doll for Christmas. And, of course, they went to a service that night, and she had not opened the box of the doll, but she was so excited she got the doll she had longed for. And the preacher was sharing about missionary work, and he was talking about this little girl by the name of Mena over in a foreign land there where he was doing missionary work. And lo and behold, he was talking about this little girl had said that, and they didn't have anything. And she longed to have a doll from America. And a long story short, this young gal, this little girl, went home. Well, she went to the preacher and told him after the service, said, "I've got a doll." But she sat there for a while and she was figuring out what she would do. She certainly was glad to get the doll of her love. And she thought, well, she could give her old doll. So the preacher would come by, she would give a doll, give this him a doll he could take to this little girl, Mena. And so they went home, and the preacher dropped by to pick up the doll, and her mother saw her go into her room and get the doll, and she came out with this doll she had longed for, this doll that hadn't been unwrapped. And she said, her mother said, well, I thought you were going to give her your old doll. And she said, Mother, I thought that too. But she said, I couldn't do that. She said, I want to give the best that I got. And she'd give her that doll. That's what Jesus did. That's what God did. He give us the best that he had in Jesus. John talks about this love of God. That's how God loved us. And I'm telling you, when you stop to think about that, when you sit and meditate on that, doesn't that grab you? Doesn't that really get a hold of you? John said, God is love. God doesn't just love. John said, God is love. You see, that's his nature. That's who he is. God's love, you and me, and God gives the best because he loves you and me. Look at all the good things you have. And I say this kindly, but look at what some of the other people have that just goes for the things of the world. Who's got the best? You people. You people. Or how come you get it? God loves you. You love him. You honor him. He loves you. He loves you. Not just because you who you are. Because I have questioned many times in my life why God really loved me. There's been times in my life I don't know why or how God would love me. But John says he's love. That's his nature. God is love, and he loves you and he loves me. You see, people fall in love, and people fall out of love with one another. Hearts are broken. Life can become so empty. But God's love is a wonderful love. A wonderful love. It's personal. It's mighty. God's love has no beginning and no end. He loved you before you was born. And he'll love you after you're gone, whichever way you go. You see, you can stop loving God, but God will never, ever stop loving you. Isn't that wonderful? That's what Christmas is all about. Christianity is set apart by love from all other religions there is. And then lastly, and quickly, and I know we're running out of time, is that Jesus is wonderful in his death, burial, and resurrection. Just a couple of thoughts. Oh, you would say, yeah, when you visualize the cross, there's no beauty there that we should behold it, Isaiah says. It wasn't a pretty sight. We know that as we read it and visualize it. The words wonderful and cross just doesn't seem to go together, do they? But as we see the results, how wonderful the cross was. How is it the scripture tells us, you know, that Jesus endured the cross All the bad you can think about the cross, he endured that for you and for me, that we could experience the love of God and have the hope of eternity. There's many songs about the cross. And one song that we sing quite often, and I think, who was it that wrote that song? James Watt. You know, he said, "When I survey the wondrous cross, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Peace died." Boy, you're going, that's so beautiful, so beautiful. There's many songs that has the adjective of wonderful in them, in some form or another, that pictures the cross and paints the cross as a wonderful thing that happened for mankind out of the love of Almighty God through His Savior, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Christmas gives us hope. And one day, we will be resurrected as Jesus was. We'll be resurrected with Jesus to dwell in that wonderful place that Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And I'll come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Can anything be more wonderful than that? No. I would this Christmas season, as men, women, boys and girls, everywhere, as they celebrate the wonderful birth of Jesus, may they listen to His wonderful teaching. May they experience from this book the wonderful announcement and the wonderful teaching and the wonderful hope that comes from the babe of Christmas, born in Bethlehem in a lowly manger. May you this Christmas time celebrate the wonderful story of Jesus with great dedication and appreciation. Let us stand. First verse only of our invitation hymn. If you haven't experienced Jesus in your life, we invite you to come. Receive Him today just as you are. Without one plea that my was shed for thee, me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Amen. Thank you, folks, for being in the Lord's house. And next week is going to be a Christmas Eve Sunday. We have had Christmas on Sunday before, but Christmas Eve, we'll be having our services just as we are today. And so we invite you to come and be a part of that. And as you go forth this week, may God richly bless you in all the things you do. Might it bring glory and honor to Him, and certainly tell people about Jesus as you go. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day and thank You for this time. We thank You for the wonderful book that tells us of the wonderful things about Jesus and most of all of Your wonderful love that You have for mankind. Help us, Almighty God, to share with others that Jesus came to save sinners, and they who are rejected can now receive and be blessed. But foremost, dear God, we ask that You would look upon this Porter family. And Heavenly Father, as we each go our separate ways this week and do the things that we have to do, we pray that You will help us make all things work together for good for them, because they love You, we know. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Amen.